Revelation chapter 20. The Lord, of course, refers to Himself in Scripture as judge, the judge of all mankind. And a judge is one who rules and makes binding decisions. And of course, the Lord, as the creator and the ruler of the universe, is presented clearly in Scripture as judge. He rewards believers. He will be punishing or send those who do not know Him into eternal condemnation because of their failure to have their sins forgiven by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 4:12 says, "There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save as well as to destroy." You know, the Bible's very clear. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All people deserve the judgment of God. However, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we realize that He bore the judgment for our sins on the cross. So this account that we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 20, we won't be there. Okay? There's not one general future judgment when all men will step up and stand before God. There are different judgments, and I'm going to mention these in just a minute. But this judgment of the lost or the unsaved, believers will not be there. John 3:18 says, "Whosoever believes in Christ, in Him, is not condemned. But he who believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There is therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 5, 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation. Christ already paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And that we will not be standing before the Lord as judge in order to be cast into the lake of fire, as it says in Revelation chapter 20. Now, quickly, I want to just mention the fact that there are seven judgments in Scripture. Remember, there are a lot of people who think there's only one general judgment, and all men are going to stand before God, and He's either going to say, "You're going to heaven or you're going to hell." That's not how it works out. That's not what the Bible says. There are seven judgments mentioned in Scripture, and I want to mention the seven, and then we will look at the one that's so tragic in the book of Revelation. Seven judgments, okay? The first one, of course, is the judgment at the cross, where God the Father judged the Son in your place and my place. The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity or the sins of us all. On the cross, God actually removed the curse that Satan caused to be put on man after Satan tempted man to disobey God. However, Christ bore our sins on the cross. He bore the punishment for our sins. Now, stop real quick. I know you know this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ bore that death for us. So again, when you die as a Christian, immediately absent from the body and home or present with the Lord. Remember Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, heaven, as they sang, there you may be also." And the way you know, and Thomas said to him, "How do we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father in heaven but by me." So the first judgment of the seven judgments in Scripture is that Christ was judged on the cross for you and for me. And we are so thankful this morning for that. Many Scriptures teach that. Secondly, there's self-judgment. That judgment takes place when we have communion here on Sunday mornings. When we take communion, we don't take it casually. We're thankful for the bread and the cup. They remind us that Jesus died and bore the punishment for our sins. So before we partake of communion, the bread and the cup, the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. We're to judge ourselves. Make sure there's no sin in our lives that will hinder our fellowship with God. In fact, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord." So in other words, if you take communion, But if you come to communion with the attitude, well, I don't have any sins I need to confess, you know. I'm just living just so, such a perfect Christian life. But that's not our attitude. When we come to the Lord's table, we come with thankfulness. Lord, I am so thankful that you saved me. I am so thankful that you paid the price for my sins. And Lord, this past week, I just want to make sure that my attitude's good towards others. Or maybe there's something I said that I shouldn't have said or done that I shouldn't have done. And we confess that so that we can maintain good fellowship with the Lord and then partake of communion. Self-judgment. Third judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all, believers, appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And that's where the works, the things you have done for Christ here, will be rewarded. Every man's work will become clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The fourth judgment is the judgment of the Gentile nations when Jesus Christ comes down to the earth, second coming of Christ, Revelation chapter 1. Christ comes down to the earth. He goes into Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. But prior to that is the judgment of the nations. It says in Matthew 25, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him for judgment." So that's another judgment, the judgment of the nations, number four. All the nations of the earth, all those nations that ban Christianity, ban missionaries from coming in, ban the Bible, well, they're going to answer to God for banning His word from being given to them. Then there's the judgments of the tribulation period, and that would be number five, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Then there's the great white throne judgment. We're going to look at for just a few minutes this morning, found in Revelation chapter 20. And the apostle says in verse 11 of chapter 20, you'll notice it says very clearly, the apostle has a vision and he says, "I saw a great white throne, and there is the throne of God." And then the last judgment, we're not going to dwell on at all, is the fact that in the future, angels will be judged, and God will use believers. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:3, "Do you not know that you shall judge angels?" It's interesting. Seven judgments in Scripture. Now let's look at this one just briefly in Revelation chapter 20. The Apostle John is having a vision and he sees the throne room of God. And he says, "I saw a white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Let's dig into what this means. First of all, it's a time when those who do not know Christ the Savior, those who have not received forgiveness of sin, will stand before God. Of all the passages of Scripture that you can look at, this one kind of touches us deeply. It really does. You see, we won't be there as Christians. Please don't forget that. But how sad that there will be many people who will be standing before God. Now, some people say, you know, when we get to heaven, are we going to see God? Absolutely, we're going to see God. God is spirit. Those who worship in spirit and truth. There will be a manifestation of God the Father. We will see God the Son. And as we're going to see in a moment, they share the throne together. God the Son. You will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's really going to be sad is people who go and they stand before the Lord and the Lord says, "I never knew you. You never received my forgiveness of sin." You're going to go into the lake of fire. I mean, that's going to be sad. There are people that we know today, that we know, maybe we work with them, could be a relative, could be somebody we know, and they will be seeing the Lord. In fact, they will know that way back down there in Louisville, Texas, or Flower Mound, or Highland Village, you were the one who told them that Jesus is the only Savior from sin. And they don't have to go to the eternal lake of fire. They don't have to go to a place called hell if they will just receive Jesus as their Savior. And many of you have tried to win people to the Lord, just like I have. And they'll say, "Oh, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in spiritual things." And then the day will come when they'll stand before the Lord and say, "I wished I had listened." This great white throne judgment follows the second coming of Christ down to the earth, where Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years. After that, Satan's loose for a season. He grabs some nations together to go against the land of Israel. The Lord comes down with fire from heaven and wipes them out. Satan himself is cast into the lake of fire. You see that clearly in 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the Antichrist and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Sad, isn't it? It really is. It's one of those passages of Scripture which, you know, we don't want to ignore it. You know, we're almost finished with the book of Revelation, but you know, we need to see these things. We need to get these things in our head. What this passage of Scripture is telling us, and I'll probably mention this in a few minutes again, people don't get away with sin. We think people who steal and rob and kill and commit immorality and hurt others, we think that they're going to get away with that. No one will get away with any sin. It's not going to happen. All men will stand before God and answer for the sins that they've committed. And the Bible says, and you looked at the passage here clearly with me. Look at 15 again. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we have neighbors, relatives, people we work with who will be forever separated from God. You know, we could just stop here and say, Lord, this is a hard truth of Scripture. It really is. And yet Jesus spoke much about hell. He warned people to flee the wrath to come. John the Baptist did too. It's not necessary to go to the lake of fire, because Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins. We'll get back to this in just a moment. You'll notice it's called a great white throne judgment. It's white because it symbolizes purity and holiness. When God judges people, it will be done righteously. God's not going to kind of make a mistake and charge someone with something they're not guilty of. You and I know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Psalm 9, 7 and 8 says, "The Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity." God's not going to make any mistakes. He knows all things. Yes, he's compassionate. He is loving. He's kind. And he's true. And he watches after us as a shepherd watches after the sheep. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And he watches after us. But those who will not come to him, those who will reject him, will have to spend forever separated from him. And they will stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. You'll notice he's referred to as him that sat upon him. Did you see that? Upon it, rather, in verse 11. Back in Revelation 7, the martyrs of the tribulation period say, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Revelation chapter 7 verse 10. And then also, when the new heavens and the new earth are seen by the Apostle John in chapter 22, the Apostle John says, "There I see the throne of God and the Lamb." So in other words, when we see the Lord, not when the lost see the Lord, when we see the Lord, again, we will see that the throne of God is shared by the Father and the Son. However, ultimately, it's going to be Jesus, the God-man, who will speak to those who stand before him, and those who have rejected him. He will communicate with them, "You had an opportunity to know me as Lord and Savior from sin, and you did not take that opportunity." We're not going to go into detail on this. Romans chapter 1 says we have the light of creation and the light of conscience. So you say, well, there's some people who haven't heard the name of Jesus yet. But listen, every man has an opportunity to move towards God. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "The one who comes to me, I will never cast out." Christ is the Savior, the only Savior. In fact, he is going to be the judge. The Father and the Son will be there, but John 5:22 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Let me share something with you. I have a good friend who's a Muslim, and he's taught that everybody, even the prophets, are going to stand before God, and God's going to judge them and tell them where they're going. And he said, even Muhammad and your Jesus are going to stand before God. No. John chapter 5 verse 22 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." See, what's sad about Islam is that they're taught that Allah is God, and Allah is not God, and He's not the same as our God. Don't let anybody trick you in that. Allah was a demon, the last of the demonic people, the demonic spirits that were worshipped by people in Islam. And Muhammad went and he cleaned out all the gods and he left one there. And he says, that's the one you will worship. And his name is Allah. And that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that the phrase in the Bible? You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But pray for those who are in Islam because of spiritual blindness. You see, when my friend said that, I think my blood pressure went up. And he said, did I say something that wasn't right? And I said, well, yeah. And we don't argue, we don't quarrel. But I said, you know, Jesus, God the Son, is going to be on the throne and He will judge all men. John chapter 5, verse 22. Quickly, John states, from His presence the earth and the heaven fled away and there was no place found for them. Now remember, this is after the millennial kingdom. This is the last thing before eternity is ushered in. All unsaved people are standing before God. From His presence the earth and heaven fled away. And that's described in 2 Peter chapter 3. We won't take the time to read that passage, but there it says again that the world that we see will be burned by fire. It will be burned up, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And again, that's 2 Peter 3. We don't have the time to really look at the passage. The Lord judged the earth before by a flood, Noah's flood. He will judge the earth again by fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, you read verses 10 through 13. It's clearly spelled out. And you say, well, how's that going to happen? Because the same word of God that brought our world into being, let there be, and the earth was created, and man and animals and the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the same word of God will eliminate this world as we see it today and will create a new heaven and a new earth. And by the way, in that 2 Peter 3, it says, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that day when we're going to be in the new heaven and the new earth, and we're going to be there reigning with Christ, and we'll have the ability to go from heaven down to the new earth, the new earth back to heaven. It's absolutely awesome. We'll talk about that a little bit in the future. The final element that's here, again, that's sad, is the fact that he says in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. Verse 12a, I saw the small and great stand before God. See, all unbelievers are going to stand before God. Men like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, but the small and the great, those who've rejected God, those who have not received salvation, forgiveness of their sins, unrepentant. And you'll notice it says in the text, it says that the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Did you see that in verse 13? Those who died on the Titanic, the Lusitania, the Arizona, countless ships crossing the ocean. People died and were buried at sea. Their bodies will be raised. And see, this is one of the truths in Scripture that people struggle so much with. That's why you have to take the Word of God by faith. What the Lord says is absolutely true. There'll be a resurrection of the just. There'll be a resurrection of the unjust. And people struggle with this fact that in the future, in eternity future, people will have bodies. Yes, we will have bodies. Even the unsaved will have bodies that will be able to be in hell or the lake of fire. This is tragic. It's tragic. And we know it to be. And we find no joy in this. The Bible says that God delights not in the death of the wicked. Sometimes you'll hear on TV that here's a guy who murdered about 10 people and they're gonna give him the... it used to be the electric chair. Now they poison them and they die. And after it's announced that the man died, they all stand there and they clap. I'll tell you what, God doesn't clap. God is a God of compassion. And he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. All men are made and created in the image of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to faith in him. And we have to be real careful as we look out into society and we see people who commit the vilest of the vile sins. Well, God loves them, and Jesus died for them too. Many will not accept him, but he died on the cross to pay for sins. Quickly, the text says, death and Hades were delivered up the dead which were in them. Those who are now in the place of judgment, in the place of punishment, they will still stand before God and answer for their sins. Hades is the equivalent of the Old Testament Sheol, Hebrew word, and it's the realm of the dead. And these will stand before the Lord. Luke chapter 16 says, and being in torments in Hades, the rich man spoke of his torment and his sorrow. And he said, Lord, he said, send somebody to my brothers so they don't have to come to this place. A real burden, you see, for those who do not know Christ as Savior. At the great white throne judgment, those who are in hell will still stand before God. And it says the books are open. The books contain the record of every thought, word, and deed that was done by those who do not have salvation in Christ. No one is going to get away with their sin. Will you remember this from this passage of Scripture? No one will get away with their sin. People who have hurt you, people who have hurt others, people who have committed murder, immorality, theft, lying, stealing, cheating, they will all have to answer these things before God. The Christian, we are not going to be answering because of our past sins or any of the sins we commit. We're going to stand before the Lord and be able to realize that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, right? So don't let Satan beat you up with the things of the past. And he'll do it. Satan will keep you awake at night. He'll remind you, oh yeah, you're forgiven of sin, but hey, you're not living really the way you should be living, are you? You're not doing the things you should be doing. Listen. When Satan starts to beat us up with the sins of our past, and he will do it, we remember that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from some of our sins. Say it again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from? Ooh, thank you, Lord. So again, this judgment scene here, believers will not be there, but the books will be open. First book is the book of conscience. People may be saying, I never heard about God and the law of God, and I never really heard the way of salvation. But the law of conscience will say, you had a conscience given to you by God. And you had the ability to know things that were wrong, that would pull you towards God. And you did not respond to those things. Man will be condemned because he violates his conscience before God. Secondly, there'll be the book of words. Jesus said, Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. There was a lady in our church in New York. She used to work in this, well, anyway, I won't tell you where, it was a laundry environment room. And she said, I couldn't believe the language. You know, so we're protected as Christians, aren't we? We really are. Some of you work where you hear the bad language. Well, you know what? People use the bad language. Got the answer to God for it. She said it would just crush me some days to hear how the language that was spoken. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. There's the book of secret words, Romans 2:15. The last one's the book of life. And it's also called the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21. The names of people who were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no mention in this book. No one mentioned in this book who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But you say, well, why is the book there if the book only contains the name of people who are saved? Why is the book there? Because there'll be some people who say, surely I'm saved. I did so many good things, but we're not saved on the basis of the good things that we do. The book is there only to verify to the lost that their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name's there. It's in the book. But the sad thing is, again, listen, I told you this passage was sad. There will be people who the Lord will have to say to them, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. You see the seriousness of knowing the Lord as Savior? You know, I'm reading this and I'm saying, Lord, I know some people I've got to get talking to. They don't know Christ, and if the rapture takes place, I don't know if they're ever going to get saved. Don't you know some people like that too? They don't know Jesus is their Savior. It is. It's very sad. It's very sad. But see, right now it's not too late for people to be saved. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're not saved yet, but today's the day of your salvation. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say quickly. If you're not saved, I want you to come up here to the front. I'm going to stand up here at the front this morning. I want you to come up and say, you know, I'm not ready. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. The church is raptured up, if Christians are going to be with the Lord, I'm going to be here left behind, and I'm going to be one of those who's at the great white throne judgment, where the Lord's going to say, depart from me into everlasting fire. It is a real place. Jesus said, Matthew 25:46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will go into everlasting life. It's difficult, isn't it? It's a hard truth in the Word of God. It's one of the most difficult things we have to grapple with. And yet we believe the words of Christ. None of us who are here this morning want to go to a place of eternal separation from God. But we don't have to. Because today is the day of salvation. And it could be that there's maybe one more person who's here this morning and you're not yet saved. But you can get saved this morning when you reach out to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Lastly, I got to do this. A number of years ago, it was back in the 50s, early 60s, we used to sing this song. I still remember it. Some of you have heard it. We used to sing this song. David Jeremiah said when his dad preached on Revelation chapter 20, he said, it would bother me because I would be thinking about people who did not know Jesus as their Savior. It says the small and great are going to stand before the Lord. Here's how this song goes. I won't sing it, by the way. I want you to stay. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood by the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted away and vanished away. A pauper stood there in judgment. His debts were actually too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The gambler was there and the drunkard and the man who had sold them the drink with the people who had sold them the license. Together in hell, they did sink. The moral man came to the judgment His self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off being saved. Not tonight. I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last, he did find time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Let's pray together.